In East Palo Alto, a city that represents what it looks like to be left behind by tech. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Molly Wood. We are still in Silicon Valley as part of our climate tech series, How We Survive. And so far, we focused on companies. But today, we're going to focus on people, because the Valley is also a microcosm of economic and racial inequality. And that is a climate change story, too. Here in Silicon Valley, you see that dynamic playing out in the tiny town of East Palo Alto. It is sandwiched in between Palo Alto, home of Stanford, and Menlo Park, home of Sand Hill Road and venture capital millions. But East Palo Alto doesn't really benefit from any of that.
Let's be honest, East Palo Alto has been the city that has been left out of the equation on many occasions.
Lisa Gaucher is the mayor of East Palo Alto. Its streets are crowded with tech commuter traffic just passing through. Its median house price is about $1 million. The median income is about $52,000 a year. People have been pushed out.
A lot of our residents are still, they're not qualified or not able to get the jobs that will pay them a living wage and allow them to stay in their community.
The city has approximately 30,000 residents. It's a mostly Black and brown community with a higher poverty rate than the national average, despite sitting in one of the richest counties in the U.S. East Palo Alto is also at risk from climate change. Half of it is in a flood zone. Any major rainstorm causes streets to close, sewers to overflow, and streets to fill up with water. And East Palo Alto isn't prepared to adapt to worsening climate change.
We started listening to the community leaders, and there was a big gap on adaptation planning.
Violet Saena works for the nonprofit Actera, which works to get green tech like solar panels and energy-efficient windows to low-income communities. She said in some cases, the tech to make homes more resilient, like more energy-efficient as temperatures get hotter, is available to people for free, but it's hard to get it to them.
The information is only available online. Homeowners who don't have access to Wi-Fi, when it comes to the application itself, it's like a 10-page, and they ask for your family's income. All of this paperwork, it really like discourages people to apply.
Saena says her organization can get people really big subsidies to switch to electric vehicles that they can power for free with low-cost solar panels, but people tell her that tech just isn't for them.
When they see an electric vehicle or a Tesla, the one thing they say, that's for a rich man. We can't afford that.
And then there are those in East Palo Alto who say they don't want to be guinea pigs for tech that they didn't have input in developing.
Community engagement is not true community engagement if you aren't sharing power.
Ophelia Bayo is the executive director of Youth United for Community Action, an environmental justice group in East Palo Alto.
No, the resume, the questions.
It's a place where kids gather to talk about what battles to fight in the community. A few years back, they managed to help kick out a wastewater treatment plant that had been polluting groundwater in East Palo Alto, and also to do things like work on their resumes and get mentorship and advice. Bayo says the tech industry needs to get engaged on climate change.
In that same breath, though, tech has a huge social responsibility to the neighboring cities that they operate in, even their host cities that they operate in, because they simply have the means to do so, to do something about it.
But she echoed a fear we heard often, that solutions will come at too high a price.
You don't try to solve a climate crisis by extracting more wealth and selling clean air in a can to people who can afford it, right? Or whatever the wonky solution, weird solution is.
To be sure, no solutions, wonky or otherwise, seem to be coming from the tech industry right now. But just this month, East Palo Alto did get a $4.4 million federal grant to improve roads and drains and protect the city from future flooding. And now for some related links. Today is the day of the global climate strike that's being led by young people. It was actually started by Greta Thunberg, a 16-year-old activist from Sweden, who's become a leading voice asking for moral responsibility and leadership on climate change. This week, she testified before Congress and told them that her prepared testimony would only be the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change's report from 2018 about the damage that would be caused by 1.5 degrees of warming.
I am submitting this report as my testimony because I don't want you to listen to me. I want you to listen to the scientists. And I want you to unite behind the science.
You can find links to more stories about today's youth climate strikes at our website, marketplacetech.org, and a piece about Greta Thunberg, who, guys, sailed to the United States so she wouldn't emit so much carbon from jet fuel by flying. We are going to end this week on a hopeful note, by God. One positive development this week. In yesterday's show, we talked about Amazon employees demanding that that company do more on climate change. And also yesterday, Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos announced that the company would speed up progress on its climate goals and make Amazon carbon neutral by 2040. Bezos said Amazon would buy 100,000 electric delivery trucks from a company called Rivian that, as it happens, Amazon invested in at the beginning of this year. However, the New York Times notes that Bezos, quote, punted on other demands from the protesters walking out today. He said Amazon would not stop working with the oil and gas industry on efficient cloud management tools. And while he said the company would take a second look at whether it was donating to politicians who were active climate change deniers, he didn't say whether Amazon would stop those donations. Coming up Monday in our climate series, you'll hear my sit down with California Governor Gavin Newsom, who told me tech is doing more than we think behind the scenes, and that the state is definitely ready to use its economic muscle to drive more climate solutions. And of course, it just so happens he is in a big, huge fight with President Trump over California's abilities to set its own car emission standards. Don't miss it. Stephanie Hughes produces Marketplace Tech. Eve Tro is our senior producer. Ben Tolliday, Robin Edgar, and Sarah Bruguer were our engineers this week. Michelle Lee took our photos in Silicon Valley and gave us great advice on the ground. Jesus Alvarado is our Marketplace Tech intern. And thanks to the Marketplace Digital team for all their work on maps, blog posts, the source code, and social promotion. This series has also had reporting and financial support from the Water Main Project at American Public Media. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM. Marketplace Tech helps you stay sharp on all things related to technology and the economy. And to help you do some numbers of your own, you can get your very own Marketplace Pencil Pack when you donate today. It's a set of six pencils, each stamped with a different Marketplace quote, yours for just $5 a month. Support public service journalism and get your pencil pack today at marketplace.org. And thanks.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.